My Music. A panel game devised by Tony Shryan and Edward J. Mason. Chairman, Steve Race.
Thank you. They are four in number, and their names are John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace, and Dennis Norton. So, straight on with the questions. John, can you give this, please, a number and a name?
A name?
Well, yes.
Symphony? I
mean, yes, symphony will do nicely, thank you. And a number?
Five.
By?
Shostakovich. Yes,
thank you. Shostakovich's fifth symphony, opus, do you happen to know?
47?
Yes, 47. My goodness. And that was from the fourth movement. Frank, there are three recognisable tunes, or bits of tunes, here in your 27 seconds worth of music. You have to be a bit slippy to spot the first two, but after that, I think there's time to think. The lady practically doing a dance in the front row. She's enjoying it so much. Did you get the first one?
London Bridge falling fell down.
Yes, thank you.
And I fell down on the other two. The man I left behind me.
Yes, the girl I left behind me. The song itself was Lady in the Front Row. Tell us, what's it called? Do you remember? No, it wasn't chicken. It was when it's night time in Italy, it's Wednesday over here. That's what it was.
Of course.
Very possibly the same tune, actually. Certainly. It was played by the Casino Dance Orchestra in a record made in 1923. Ian, a lovely melodious waltz, but whose and from what?
Oh, it's just lovely, isn't it? Mm, yeah. And it's in the operetta. It's sung by the heroine in one of those many many scenes in operas and operetta when somebody's writing a letter, and it is La Pericole, and who was a street singer, and she's writing a letter. It's a very complicated plot. She's writing a letter to her loved one.
Yes, she was a gypsy street singer, sort of Arthur Tracy with street cred.
Yes, that's right.
La Pericole, that's right. The composer being...
Offenbach,
yes, thank you. Dennis, what did people dance to this, and roughly when?
I'm longing to be in sunny Havana by the southern sea.
It's a sort of panic song, isn't it? Absolute panic. Everybody going at it like a bat out of hell.
It probably had a terribly highly coloured cover, which is what sold it.
In sunny Havana.
I don't know what people dance to that. I know what I dance to it, which is what I dance to every tune. It is a kind of dogged foxtrot, which I've pulled straight ahead. But it's very fast foxtrot, So I would describe it as a very fast foxtrot.
I think they would have called it a one-step.
A one-step,
A one-step, I think.
The great trick is not to have to turn.
That's right.
It was recorded in 1925 by the new Prince's Toronto Band.
I wonder what a light guitar is.
Yes. It's a guitar with an extra syllable, isn't it? Here are four quotations about music, or rather, they're misquotations with just a word or two wrong. John, from Twelfth Night. If music be the food of love, play on, give me excess of it, that surfeiting the appetite will sicken and so die.
That's very nearly right, isn't it?
Yes, but did you get the wrong word?
No, not really.
No, the appetite will sicken. It should have been may sicken and so die. I didn't get that. Frank, from Congreve. Music hath charms to soothe the savage breast.
To soothe a savage breast?
Yes. And there's another mistake, too. It's has charms.
Hath, yes.
To soothe a savage breast, that's right. Ian, the Merchant of Venice. How sweet the moonlight sleeps upon this bank. Here will we sit, Jessica, and let the sound of music creep in our ears.
I think... Is the Jessica in the wrong place?
Yes, she comes elsewhere in the speech, actually.
Yes. Otherwise, it seemed all right to me.
Well, it's the sounds of music, not in the plural, not the sound of music.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah. Dennis.
Good.
Dennis, from Richard II. How sweet sour music is, when time is broke and no proportion kept. So it is in the music of our lives.
I don't think you should have ordered the sweet and sour. No. I think you quoted this a few programmes back, if I'm right.
A few years back, I think.
No,
actually.
I think that's the other way around.
Yes,
it?
How sour sweet music is. There was another mistake, too.
Oh, was there?
So it is in the music of our lives. So is it in the music of our lives. This is where you've done your film or television commentator's mantle. Or perhaps you're going to be an announcer, I don't know. Anyway, let's hear appropriate words from you after the music stops in each case. They're all examples of mood music. So what's the mood? John, I feel this may bring out the announcer in you, perhaps.
Sorry to report that there was a cipher in the organ at that time. But if you listen next Tuesday at the same time, we'll try and repair it.
Yes. Rather nasty thing, cipher. That's when a note sticks. Going all the way through. Frank, again, please, a commentary or a scene set.
When I was a boy, there was a terribly exciting play about jungle called White Cargo. Mm-hmm. And there's this girl who is no better than she should be called Tondaleo. Yeah. And the White Hunter. And she got poisoned or something, do you remember? And the wonderful ending line, this is obviously the incidental music, yeah? Yeah, yeah. The ending line, she staggered out in her flimsy clothes into the jungle, and the White Hunter said, "If she lives, she lives with me."
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And down came the curtain. Great.
Yes. It's a bit strong for those days.
Well,
oh, dear, yes. Ian, one for you. 20 seconds of music, and then in you come, please.
I parked the sedan on 49th, the section nearest the river. Joey's gaming club was just up an alley that you couldn't approach without falling over a couple of ash cans. I waited until Svensson the Swede and Mickey the Kid appeared. I eased myself out of the sedan and tightened my grip on the Browning.
You actually tighten your grip on the Browning or the Brownie?
My diction must be falling off in my declining years. Browning it was.
I knew we were going to be all right, and I saw Ian's eyes narrow. I thought this was going to be good. Dennis, your best commentator's voice, please, to follow this.
Thank you.
this England of ours is a garden with rolling meadows and sunlit uplands, and you may rely on us to keep it that way. The nuclear industry toxic waste disposal.
The piece is actually called Green Acres. That wasn't bad. Right, four notes. John, who got up a full head of steam to this tune?
James Watt.
I wonder if you know.
Be helpful.
You know the man well.
Ronald Stevenson.
That's a nice thought. He was born in Broadstairs in 1936. Fine
Me.
Composer. He also sings as well now.
Me. Hmm? I was born in Broadstairs.
I thought you might be interested, yes. 1936, though, which you can't claim. And you... It's the music from Murder on the Orient Express.
Richard Rodney
Richard
Rabbit.
Rodney Bennett.
Bennett.
Richard Rodney Bennett, yes. I think you can say you got that just about.
Sorry.
Frank, adding just a little extra note to the four, what's this and who composed it, please, for which show?
Is everything blue? Blue moon, a blue moon, a blue moon, a blue moon.
By
Richard Rodgers.
Yes. Do you remember the show?
No.
1926.
Blue Moon.
From The Girlfriend. But you got it nearly right. Ian, these same basic four notes with a little reiterated one give this, which I remember, from an operetta.
Yes, that takes me back to the Devonshire Park Theatre Eastbourne was the touring company presenting Lilac Time.
That's right, yes.
When I was taken as a small boy and found the whole thing extremely boring, I remember.
Did you? Really?
As a small boy.
Such a lovely tuneful score, well, yes.
But I remember some of the tunes.
Maiden, Try to Smile from Lilac Time, that's mm-hmm. right. Ex Schubert, of course, by G.H. Klutzum and Heinrich Berthe.
Yes, I remember that name, G.H. Yes, Klutzum.
That's right, yes.
Small boy, that intrigued me. Yes. Klutzum.
Dennis, those same four notes begin a song called When April Sings. Dinah Durbin made that famous in the film called Spring Parade. Your question, Dennis, how many years, at a guess, elapsed between your birth and hers? Dinah Durbin.
I never really studied that for that point. I can tell you about Dinah Durbin that when certain members of not exactly my generation, just a little bit later, were growing up, she was the kind of fantasy girl, which I always found very surprising. She was what would be called a sex object today to Ned Sherrin and Benny Green, which I thought was very unlikely. I mean, I went for Rita Hayworth and the sort of also-rans like Lynn Barry, but...
Eleanor Glynn.
She was Doris Day of her day a bit, wasn't she, sexually speaking?
But, yeah, she was sort of a bit like an astronaut's wife, you know. very good-looking, but rather sexless. I don't know how long separated her birth and mine. I would think she was much younger.
She was 1 year younger.
Really?
Oh, she did it, yes. 1 year
well,
younger
I,
than
I
you.
Must have kept myself
I will not,
out of the world.
I will not name the year. I will not name the year.
And she gave up singing.
I'm not sure you're going to believe this, but volume 2 of the Book of Lists gives the great composer's productivity ratings. It's based not, of course, on quality, but on each composer's musical output related to his lifespan. Splendidly Philistine idea. and it's produced a kind of top 10 list. Given that some composers have long lives and some short, who do you think wins this extraordinary race? Top music man on the productivity ratings list. John,
Mozart.
Poser. You would say Mozart, would you? Yes. Well, it's short life, lots of works. Yes. Frank?
I would say Johnny Johnson of the Keynotes. He's probably written more commercial jingles than anybody else.
Yes. He's not actually listed. That won't surprise you. Ian?
So it really has to be a short life and lots of compositions.
Lots
of
work. It does really.
Poor Irving Berlin wouldn't stand a chance, would he, however many things he'd written. Haydn?
Mm-hmm. Dennis, the name.
I think the estimate for Irving Berlin was about 3,000, wasn't it? But I think somebody who wrote, a couple who wrote as many as those, including one that I'm going to do something that Deanna Durbin wouldn't attempt, and that's sing tonight, were Weston and Lee, yes, who wrote about 3,000, and also wrote, I think, about 75 musical shows as well.
Yes. R.P. Weston and Berkeley wrote a song a day, didn't they?
Yeah, for 20 years. Size?
Yes. Now, Weston and Lee, actually, just for the record, I'd say the Book of Lists gives the productivity range of 1, Schubert, 2, Purcell, 3, Mozart, 4, Haydn, 5, Handel, 6, J.S. Bach, 7, Beethoven.
In the Book of Lists, where does it register in the top most accurate reference books?
Good point, yes. Touch or two of piano jazz from the classic period. John, you don't know many jazz pianists' names, I think, but you know this man. Rather a slow, surprising version.
Mm. Is that Fats?
Yes, it's Fats Waller playing his own composition, mm, on his Uncle Rose.
But that's what really tipped it for me.
Mm. Yeah. Frank, Fats Waller again, but on the organ this time, playing whose song from which musical comedy?
Swirl,
yes. From Rodgers and Hart's.
Rodgers and Hart's. Oh, it was Connecticut Yankee.
Yeah,
it was the Yankee,
right,
of the Court of, yes, King Arthur.
Based on Mark Twain. Right. The pianist with Waller there was James P. Johnson. Ian, this is Jimmy Yancey playing State Street Special in Boogie Woogie style. Ian, in the study of words, State Street Special is an example of one thing and Boogie Woogie is an example of another. What is State Street Special an example of?
An alliteration.
Yes, and Boogie Woogie?
Boogie Woogie, I suppose, because it sounds like it is onomatopoeic.
Yes. How would you spell that on a good day? Never mind.
Oh, you don't really want that.
No, I don't.
No,
I'd
rather sing it.
An example of onomatopoeia. Dennis, this spare piano style can, I think, be the work of only one man.
Magic. If that isn't Count Basie, I don't know who it is.
Of course, it's absolute magic. Count Basie playing Shine on Harvest Moon, yes. Even if you hadn't recognised him, you'd have recognised that bass player, I think, wouldn't you? Yeah. The inmates of an American prison, I think it was somewhere in Carolina, have formed a choir. And better still, they've made an LP, record album. I don't know which songs they've included. Perhaps you can make a suggestion or two. What would be appropriate for a prison choir?
go down, Moses.
Yes.
Let my people go.
Let my people go, yes, wouldn't it?
Please release me. Let me go.
Ian, it's just...
Well, they might have formed a little quartet of unsuccessful bank robbers who would have sung, "This Nearly Was Mine."
Dennis?
I think they're more likely to have an all-star cast. I was actually... Somebody said that this actually happened, that a member of the Concert Artists Association gave a concert at one of the maximum security prisons and included in her repertoire, "What Are You Doing the Rest of Your Life?"
Well, Harry Secombe had enormous success in one of the jails singing "Bless This House."
Let me just add one thought. Mm. That's of a more serious nature, and that's Handel's Water Music.
Water Music. Water Music. Yeah, in the Carolina jail.
Or I'd Turning rather... of the Screw, that might be.
I think it'd be rather sweet if they'd sung in Room 504. Four final songs, as different as can be, from four, let us face it, very different singers. Frank chooses an old Irving Berlin song about something that everybody's doing.
As if we're a bit short of time, should we get a lick on with this one?
But yeah, let's do that.
Everybody's doing it, doing it, doing it. Everybody's doing it, doing it, doing it. See that ragtime couple over there. Watch them throw their shoulders in the air. Snap their fingers, honey, I declare. It's a bear, it's a bear, it's a bear. There! Everybody's doing it, doing it, doing it. Hate that music touching your heart. Hear that trombone busting apart. Come, 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 let us start. Everybody's doing it now. Yes.
And from John, the Sussex Mummers' Carol.
Oh, righteous Joseph, wedded was unto a virgin maid, the glorious angel from heaven came unto this virgin pure, unto this virgin pure. Now Joseph and his wedded wife, together as they met, betwixt them both they never shall part. How happy they may be unto, how happy they may be.
It's the Sussex Mummers' Carol. Now we come to London for a song from Dennis about the sadness of London life.
It's by Weston and Lee.
Yeah, it's called "The Tears Shed in London Tonight." It's very affecting, I warn you. Right.
Especially the way I sing it. Tears, tears, sorrowful tears are falling in London town. Tears of misery down your chin, they fall like the horses you've backed to win. In tears we could float Britain's navy, and patriots say with delight, we could drown all our members of Parliament in the tears shed in London tonight.
J.B. Priestley wrote a play called I Have Been Here Before about the experience of déjà vu. That was in 1937. A year or two later, Rodgers and Hart treated the same idea, really, in their song Where or When. Seems we've stood and talked like this before.
It seems we stood and talked like this before. We looked at each other in the same way then, but I can't remember where or when. clothes you're wearing were the clothes you wore. The smile you are smiling, you were smiling then, but I can't remember where or when. Son, things that happen for the first time seem to be happening again. And so it seems that we have met before, and laughed before, and loved before, but who knows where or when?
One quiz result before we go. A victory this week for Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music with John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race, and the program was produced by Richard Edis.